This is episode 292 of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey, how's it going, my friends? I'm coming in hot with another masterclass here with Mr. Bob LaChance. And guys, today's episode is really going to be focused and centered around, you know, how do you find the right virtual assistant for your business? What do you outsource to them? What kinds of tasks and activities do you have them do? And Bob has a five-step system where essentially from start to finish, you can have virtual assistants doing deals for you, marketing, lead screening, and everything through all the way to getting deals closed, building your buyer's list. And, you know, the reason I wanted to have Bob on, aside from the fact that he's a cool guy, and, you know, he runs a service that essentially trains virtual assistants in the Philippines specifically for real estate investors. And I have made a lot of mistakes when it comes to hiring VAs, and I hear a lot of investors struggle with the turnover and just really trying to find the right one. And so this episode is really going to kind of debunk a lot of myths when it comes to virtual assistants. Should you hire them? Should you not? And so, you know, if you don't, definitely listen to the show. If you do and you have any challenges or struggles with your virtual assistant, listen to the show, because Bob shares, you know, a lot of practical steps that can really help you in identifying if you should use a virtual assistant and for what types of tasks you should use virtual assistants for. He runs this service. He's first of all, he's an active real estate investor and entrepreneur going back to 2004. So he knows the business from our standpoint, and he has been working heavily with virtual assistants and has a team that essentially trains them to do a lot of the common tasks that real estate investors need. So I'm excited about bringing you this show, and let's dive right into it. Bob, what's going on, my man? It's awesome to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. I'm always excited to do these podcasts, man, because, you know, selfishly, if I'm being honest, aside from, you know, just having the platform to connect with people like you and provide value, man, like I always walk away from these podcast interviews learning something myself. And so I know today, you know, you run a very successful service that provides trained virtual assistants for real estate investors. And that's not really a topic. I've been using VAs ever since I read Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek back in 2008, 2009. And, VAs have been a big part of my business for the better part of a decade. But I think there's a lot of investors that either don't know where to find the right VAs, or they just, it seems like they cycle through a lot of them. At least that's one of the pain points I've heard. And I know that this, you know, you come from you've run successful coaching businesses and platforms, and you've been working with VAs, training them for investors. So a lot of good stuff to get into today that I think can really move the needle for people in their business.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get rocking and rolling.
Let's do it, my man. Let's do it. So just so people kind of have some context and they understand a little bit about you and your background, just kind of briefly in the next 2-3 minutes, how'd you get started in this business? What were you doing back then? And then we can kind of hit the fast forward button to what your business looks like today.
Absolutely. Well, I started investing in real estate back in 2004. Prior to that, I played professional hockey for 8 years. So
I heard. That's awesome. So did you play at the professional level?
You know, I played one exhibition game and I had a point a game. So that's nice. My claim.
That was
funny. Yeah, it's funny. I got drafted by St. Louis Blues. I think I was 134th pick in 1992. So obviously you could tell what age I am now, right?
No, but I was going to say you look a lot younger than if you were playing. I'm guessing you were what, 17, 18, 19 back in 92. I mean, you look a lot younger.
Yeah, you know what? I just keep getting grayer and grayer and grayer. And the bigger my beard gets, I get the gray spots on it. But hey, I guess that's part of the game, right?
There you go, man. There you go.
So anyway, getting back to that, I went to Boston University, fortunate enough to get a full scholarship there. And there's one thing I do want to give a little takeaway on is when you get something for free, you don't take really the most advantage of that something for free, right?
Very true, man. When you pay attention.
Yeah. So when I got my full scholarship, unfortunately, I would love to go back and smack myself because – And I went there and I asked all my buddies, hey, what classes do I take? And they gave me like anthropology. They gave me all these, you know, all these classes that were easy to actually get by, but didn't give you any life skills after. Yeah. Right. So I didn't take advantage of that. And that goes, you know, you fast forward now today is when you look at, I just read an article before I got in this podcast and they said, and this is not, they said 70% of in the last number of years, 70% of all the people that win the lottery go broke, file bankruptcy.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
It is really crazy.
No, the thing is people were never, they never received the financial education growing up, you know, like going to school, they don't teach you how to make money, how to manage money. And so when people have a windfall, whether it's the lottery or athletes that you hear constantly going broke after they retire, it doesn't surprise you, man. People are just not, they don't educate themselves on how to make and manage money.
Exactly. So that, I mean, that was one of my challenges. I went 4 years, had the opportunity my last year to sign a professional contract, got offered $110,000 to start in the St. Louis Blues minor league team right away or finish my last two classes. So obviously, like any young kid, I took the money with the idea of, hey, I could always go back every summer, right? Yeah. So 1 year goes by, I play, didn't go back to school. Next year go by, next year. Now I end up going to sign contracts in Europe. So the next 4 years I played in Milan, Italy, Milan, Italy, Hamburg, Germany, and Switzerland for 2 years, wow, which was one of the most phenomenal times ever.
I was going to say, challenge there though. That must have been quite an experience for you, man. You know, young guy, you were what, 20, 21?
Yeah, I was about 22 plus after that. I retired when I was 30 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, one of the things you learn though is as much fun as it is, you're never thinking about life after that sport. Mm. And that's the common challenge with a lot of athletes. They don't think about, they only think about what's their next contract, not, hey, when does life start? Because you're in this kind of fantasy world about, you know, you're having fun every single day, right? You're partying, you're having a great time in the locker room. Locker room was a great time. But what you also realize is you don't have any network, right? Your network is just, you know, it's like college buddies, right? That are partying all the time. So at the end of my career, I missed, and here was one of the reasons why I had to transition. You know, my wife and my son were living at home and I was still playing. And I had to decide whether I bring my family over to Europe and I could have played for probably another 10 years, or is it time to hang up and start my family and start my life. So I decided, you know, my wife is doing well. She had a sales job. She's making some pretty good money. And I decided, hey, you know what? I might as well hang it up, jump into the real world, but I had no idea what to do. So I went online, just like probably many of us, read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, probably like 99% of us.
Yep.
So I got the interest and then I Googled real estate investing. And the first course that popped up, I bought. And it was a course by the name of David Wisnant. I think Wisnant. This is back 2002, I think it was. So if I mess up the name, I do apologize. But it was the Complete Real Estate Toolbox. I believe that was the name. So I went cover to cover. And at that time, you know, it was a decision of whether I'm going to jump into real estate because that's what I read first,
yep,
or go back to school, right? Mm. And obviously I'm getting pressure from my wife and my family to go back to school. But I already made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to jump into real estate.
Yeah.
And when I make a decision,
you were about what, 30, 31 at this point, you said?
I was 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm trying to jump in a lot of listeners like that we have here. And I know I listen to your podcast all the time. So thank you for actually doing this. Your podcast is one of my favorites. I do appreciate that.
Thank you, man. That means a lot.
Yep. So, you know, just listen to a lot of the same stories, right? It's the transition from, you know, one industry to the next is not always easiest, right? Mm-hmm. But I've always been brought up that when you're going to do something, you better do it 100%. Because if you do it 5%, 10%, 50%, one toe in, it's going to be very difficult to, you know, to reach any type of success. So that's one of the things that I did know. So I jumped in with 2 feet. One of the things that I learned from that course was farming areas and, you know, farming areas, driving up and down neighborhoods, looking at properties, any properties that are beat up, you know, you either door knock or you, you know, if there's a sign in the yard, call that real estate agent's sign. So that's what I did. And after the first couple weeks in business, I made my first offer. It was on Whiting Lane in West Hartford, Connecticut. And I got in a showing and opened the door and boom, a big smell of cat pee just smoked me. And I'm like, yep. I go, I remember in that book that when there's cat pee,
there's money.
That's exactly it. So property was listed. It was either 175 or 185. And I made an offer at 135. And, you know, a lot of new investors or sometimes seasoned investors, and majority of the new investors are afraid to make offers less than what's listed because they feel, I don't know, whatever nervous feeling they have, they feel like they're going to lowball it. Yeah. I didn't have that feeling. I was so green. I didn't really care. So I just threw an offer in, and guess what happened?
You got it accepted.
Accepted it.
My man.
And guess what I was thinking at that time?
What the hell do I do now?
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I put away some pretty good money when I played, but still not enough to actually buy the property in cash and rehab it.
Yeah.
There was also another problem. I didn't have any contractors, right? So it was pretty interesting. I opened up what's called a Foothills Trader, and I the first five contractors, I called every single one. One showed up. His name was Junior. To this day, I tell this story. He was the best. So I think he's down in the Miami area, so I might hook you up with him.
Really? Yeah, please do, man. What's his name, Junior?
Junior Friedis. Phenomenal, dude. Phenomenal.
Good contractors are tough to come by, man.
Yeah, he's incredible. So he moved down there, I think about 2 years ago. But to this day, the best contractor I ever had. So he showed up. We rehabbed the property. I think it cost us about $30,000. We ended up making $32,000 on the deal.
Nice.
Which was phenomenal. But at this time, I thought I was a rehabber. I knew nothing. You got to realize, dude, I knew nothing. I just knew how to take action, right?
Yeah.
And I knew how to follow. I had no coaching, no mentoring, nothing at this point. So the next step I did is I joined a real estate investment association because obviously everything you read is network, 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 right? And the old quote, your network is your net worth, right?
Yep. Right.
So I joined RIA Group and I asked 10 different people, hey, who's the best investor? Who's the best investor? And they all kept pointing to the same guy, right? Then I saw a pre-foreclosure speaker speak, and I was hooked on pre-foreclosure. Now I'm a short sale. I would have gone anywhere, man. You could have told me if real estate investing had basket weaving, dude, I would have bought that, right?
Wow. So, dude, so getting started in the business, arguably you may have gotten into two of the toughest niches, right? Like right out of the gate, rehabbing and then short sales.
Yep. Which is a blessing in disguise because that's where I met Pat Precourt.
Love Pat, man. Such a good dude. Such a very deep, introspective man.
Yeah, and very, very humble, but probably the best mentor anybody could get. And I was fortunate enough to get him. You know, I came from the hockey locker room to the world where I didn't even know what it was, right? So I met him and I said, Pat, you know what? I'm not looking for any money. I don't want a full-time job. I don't want a paid job, but I do want to learn this business. He goes, you know what? I'm actually looking for an acquisition guy, a head acquisition guy in my team. So are you interested? I didn't even know what that meant, to be honest with you. I had no idea what acquisition.
But you knew it smelled like an opportunity.
Absolutely. I believed in Pat right away. Right when I shook his hand, he's got that big firm handshake.
Yep.
I knew right away. And he's the type of guy I'll look in the eye, right? If someone could look you in the eye and tell you there's an opportunity, in my opinion, I'm a big handshake guy, right?
Yeah.
And that could be a flaw for a lot of us, but you know, I trust before anything else. But hey, you know what? It is what it is. So I got a list of Pat gave me a list of pre-foreclosure individuals that are in pre-foreclosure behind in their mortgage and a script. And I door knocked for 1 year straight from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, every single day.
Dude, so you were literally thrown into the fire from your first deal, which you made $32,000 on a rehab. There's so many lessons in what you're saying. The first lesson that jumps out at me is you took action, right? And that's so overused and very cliche, but like you literally fired and then you aim. And then that led you to ask the right questions. Who's the best real estate out there? Best real estate investor. Find a mentor. Go looking for value, saying, hey, I don't want money. I just want to like, I want to learn this business. What can I do? You had an opportunity, you realized it, you took it, and then you jumped in doing one of the things that most people are just afraid to do and or don't want to do, and you literally started door knocking for a year straight.
Yeah, you know what? My mindset, well, there's two things here. Well, my mindset was you have to learn the business from ground up, right? I didn't know anything, but I knew, you know, I learned that from my father. He was a contractor growing up, right? Where you have to do the business yourself. And then you can learn it, and then you can really run and own a business. I think that's really, really important for all of us. We're always, you know, many of us are always looking for the magic pill.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? There's no freaking magic pills in this world, yeah. Right?
Right.
And that's the thing that we have to, real estate really doesn't change. It's the same, right? Wholesaling, you got the three legs of wholesaling, right? It's you need a buyer's list, you need a market, and you need to negotiate. Those are very fundamental rules of it's three legs of wholesaling pretty much. Right. So it's pretty interesting on that storefront of it. And then, so again, just to backtrack a little bit, then, Pat took me under his wing after I'm door knocking. And then, he taught me at that point, I got someone underneath me that I trained to door knock to take my spot. And then he taught me now to negotiate with banks. So at this point we were cranking, we were doing, I don't know, from 04 to 2010, we did over 700 short sale transactions. Like we were running pretty good. Yeah. And within that time, we were fortunate because we got recruited from a company down in Florida to start a coaching program with them in the short sale side, which is awesome. So Pat and I then, in the investing side, we had a loss mitigation company, a short sale company, obviously on the investment side. And then we also were running a coaching program, which... You know, and I'm a firm believer. I was listening to Tom Kroll's podcast and he brought up education first.
Yeah.
Right. The podcast today with Tom. And I was like, and he is 1000% right. Right. You need to educate. And I got a good formula after while we keep going in this concept and what the path was and how I got to where I am today. Okay. So started that coaching program. We were real successful. And then we got, Pat and I got asked by our buddies from Fortune Builders to help with their coaching program.
My man, Than, dude, I don't know. You probably don't even know this, but when I got started in 2005, Than was like my first mentor, man.
Yeah, so, he's awesome.
Love Than, man. Such a good dude.
You know, and you got to realize where, you know, a lot of people want to go out on their own and do it themselves. You know, my whole background is team. Right? I don't like working by myself. Yeah. For me, it's not fun. You know, and when we got asked to be on that team to help with the coaching program, I thought it was a great honor because, you know, they all the owners of Fortune Builders, they all have sports background. Pat was rugby, I was hockey, and it was just a perfect fit there.
Paul played at Yale, I believe, and I know Than went on to play in the NFL for a couple of years or whatever it was, and so yeah, man. Conrad also great dude. So
awesome dudes. Yeah. Awesome dude.
And yeah, man, you're 100% right. It's like Robert Kiyosaki said, you know, business is a team sport. And you know, yeah, you can create a lifestyle business if you want to go at it alone, but is it really a business at the end of the day? You know?
Right. So, exactly. Right. I mean, but some people like that. I don't personally. Right. I mean, you know, I'm more of a social person where, you know, I like hanging out. When we go to our masterminds, I'm always at the bar. I'm at the gym with you, right? We're doing something where people are.
Dude, that's how you and I met. What, six in the morning at the gym?
It was funny. Dave Parrichin, he goes, I go, Dave, a lot of money's made in the bar. He goes, there's more money made in the gym.
And it's funny. I don't even remember what I was listening to a podcast. I don't even know. I forget how we connected. It was early in the morning. Sometimes I just kind of get zoned in. But yeah, man, super random. We connected at 5:30, 6 in the morning at San Diego.
That's right. It was fun times. So, and then just going along with the story. So, you know, working with tens of thousands of students, and obviously running business yourself, you see a lot of things in the industry. You get a good, and I know you say this a lot, and I say the same thing. You know, we all see through our own lens, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I notice, and one of the things that we were always trying to do in the coaching program in our own business was, all right, what kind of service or what kind of product is out there to help individuals get better at what they want to do, right? What is it? What is it that, so for instance, if you have a goal, how do I help you reach that goal? Mm-hmm. So when you look at real estate investors, you know, 95%, and I'm making this number up, but it sounds like a good number, right? But 95% of us, when we jump into real estate, we're either working part-time or full-time, right? Right. Maybe 100, I don't even know what the number is. And what's the common theme there? Time, right? So I was always thinking, Pat and I would talk about this all the time. All right, what is it that we could do to help every real estate investor? This is back in literally, I'm from 07 to 2013. And then all of a sudden I saw a presentation on virtual assistants. And I'm like, you know what? Boom, the light bulb. You know, everyone has a light bulb moment. Saw someone speaking on stage on that, and I knew it right away. I'm like, there's a business.
So this was in 2013?
This was 2013, right at the beginning of 2014.
Okay.
So I started using a VA. Actually, let me rewind. It's 2013. I started using my first VA because that was more prevalent in the real estate agent world, right? Not in the investor world back then.
Yeah.
So thinking about my background and Pat's background, and it was all coaching, mentoring, training. So like, all right, well, then why don't we create a coaching program on how to train virtual assistants? Because we know now that we need it in our business, and that's a big void in the industry, right?
Right.
So then we tested it for 2 years on the actual model to see if it worked with one company. And then we went out on our own. And then since then, I started another company, which is Riva Global. So, So that's where we are today in reference to that.
So brother, what are some of the pitfalls that you see investors make when it comes to, I mean, just kind of starting from the beginning is number one, a common question I get is, hey, who should my first hire be? You know, and then from there, if and when they decide to go the virtual assistant route, what are some of the mistakes that you see people make when it comes to the hiring process? Do they even need a VA? You know, one of the mistakes I made back in 2008, 2009 is I hired a VA from a company called Get Friday, which was just a resource mentioned in Tim Ferriss' book. And I had no plan for this VA. I just hired them and I'm like, okay, now what kind of thing? She's looking at me, she's in India. I'm looking at her and through Skype and I'm like, okay, well, why don't you just do this with no direction? Like no systems, no SOP. And so I've made a ton of mistakes in this area, but I'll kind of turn it over to you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's really a consultation at that point, but my high recommendation, first question I ask is, you know, what's the biggest pain point in your business, right? If you're a wholesaler, is it your buyer's list? Is it marketing? Is it admin work? Is it uploading your leads into a CRM, like what is it? And typically when I ask that question, they'll give me that first pain point. And then that's when you build on that. It's creating a job description. But again, that's one of the things that we help fulfill when we go through our process in my company. That's one of the things that we do. But if I could take this deeper, and this will make more sense as we go. I get a lot of the same questions. So there's three common questions and thoughts that I was even thinking before I started doing this my experience before I even started this company. I get three questions. One, how do I effectively use a VA? Right. So basically what that means is what tasks do I outsource? Okay. Right. The other one is how do I train my VA? Next one and the final one is how do they actually do the tasks better than me? I'm an entrepreneur, right? Matt Oviatt said on one of your podcasts, he goes, until I replaced myself, I didn't realize how bad I was at doing that, right?
Yep.
That's
most of us.
That's most of us. We're entrepreneurs, right? That's just how it goes.
Yep.
So if it's okay, I'm going to break everyone down. Is that okay?
Please do. And by the way, thank you, man, because you're making my job easy here. Like you're asking the questions that the most common questions that hundreds, if not thousands of investors have asked. And that's what people listening probably want to know. So by all means.
Yeah. If whoever's listening to this wants to take notes, I'll try to go as slow as I can, but I do like breaking things down in numbers because whenever I'm listening to all your podcasts, Alex, I always take notes. So that's just what I do. So hopefully it'll help out with this podcast.
Yeah,
so,
man, that's right.
Absolutely. So the tasks to outsource, we all know that your listeners are mostly wholesalers, but you also get rehabbers. Yep. There's more and more individuals that are buy and hold investors, property managers. Now Airbnb is a big thing, right? So I'll just touch upon property management in Airbnb. The majority of tasks there are, you know, CRM management and maintenance management. So basically taking calls, coordinating appointments. You know, I was sitting with, I'll just tell you a 2 second story, but I was sitting with a property manager here in Connecticut at the beginning of this week, and her phone was blowing up, literally sitting right across me. Her phone's blowing up. She says, hold on for a second. Oh, it's CNG. It's the gas company. And out of that one call, it took 5 calls. So it took about 40 minutes of time of her coordinating, worrying. And she goes, Bob, you know what? I haven't had a day off in 5 years. She goes, thank you so much for sitting. So the property management world is huge because they have to deal with all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I won't dig into that. I'm gonna dig into more on the wholesaling side, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, please do.
Cool. So there's 5 main things. And this... So there's 5-step process within all of real estate. It doesn't matter if it's retail, real estate, or investing. So the first one is marketing. So if anyone wants to write this down, that's cool. Second one is lead intake. Third one is deal analysis. Fourth one, I put offer/contract. Mm-hmm. And the fifth one is selling a property.
Yeah.
Right? So you break each one of those up. And you write down all of the tasks in your business that you can outsource. I'll give you some of the tasks that a VA can do for your business, which will make it, you know, whenever I go through this exercise, when I'm sitting one-on-one with somebody, a light bulb goes on and they're saying, okay, good. Now I know. Before I actually got into this conversation, I knew I needed help, but now I know what to outsource.
That was me 12 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever it was.
Yep. So, all right, here's how I break it down. On the marketing side, it first starts no matter what with social media presence. Because, and I'll ask you this question, when you see somebody's name, whether, let's say it's real estate investor, where's the first place you search typically?
Google or Facebook.
Google or Facebook. So typically majority right now are going to those 2 places.
Yeah.
Right. So it's now, but the big 3 is LinkedIn and Instagram on top of that.
Correct.
Right. So here's what I recommend just with the presence side. This doesn't drive in money. It's not a lead generation, money generator today. Mm-hmm. It's a credibility presence out there. Right. I know a common mistake I see with investors is they look at social media presence and they look at return on investment, the dollar amount.
Right.
Right. It's very difficult to look at the results of what that does. The way I look at it as it gives you a presence. If a seller looks your name up, if a buyer looks your name up, if a hard money lender looks your name up, right? If a podcaster looks your name up, they want to see that you're credible in the business and you're doing the business. What that means is you could get a VA to post every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? That's all it takes because think about this. If you're checking me out on Facebook and you see something post every single day, what's the first thing that's going through your mind, Alex?
You're an active investor. You're doing the business.
Yep. Bingo. And now it gives more confidence in that one individual that is looking you up to do business with you, right? Yeah. So that's why I recommend. And just to give you an outline, you could do Motivational Monday, right? Pull down a quote from or pull down a motivational video from YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. Tuesday, you could post an article. Wednesday could be local news. Thursday could be Leadership Thursday. And you know, you take a motivational quote, et cetera. You get it. And you brand it with your business.
The type of content, right?
Exactly. So I'm just giving you guys just a quick little, you could run with that one, but that's very, very important for our businesses to actually run like that. I do that on a daily basis with our VAs. I give them Monday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Sunday off on the weekends.
Okay.
So then now you break it down into 2 legs from there on the marketing side. Remember, we're still under marketing. So if I'm a wholesaler, I have to build a buyer's list and any motivated sellers. So building a buyer's list, what could I do with building a buyer's list? Well, there's very simple things to do that have a very high impact. One of them is you could have your VA go to Facebook and join all the groups. Right. And let them know, post it every day. You know, you go buy and sell groups, or you go to marketplace within Facebook. On LinkedIn, a big one on LinkedIn is this is what I did with my real estate association, CT RIA. Went on LinkedIn, had my VA join the group. Once in the group, looks at all, everyone that's in there, scrapes all of the phone numbers that are there, all the emails that are there, and the names that are, puts it on a spreadsheet, and outbound dials them to see where they're looking to buy properties, what type of property they're buying, what type of financing they have, right? Beds, baths, areas, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Right? So your RIA actually has investors information in there aside from the people that run it?
Yep. I don't know if they all do, but I'm just giving you experience for me.
Yeah. No, and let me tell you. I was just going to say that you're the second person recently that brings up plugging into Facebook groups to build a buyer's list. And that's actually something that until recently, I hadn't even thought about that. And it's just a very simple way to connect, engage, and build your buyer's list.
Yep. Yeah, it's a free way, right? I mean, everything free is great.
Right.
So, and obviously you could go through Google, you scrape leads from Google, outbound. But the best thing is the reason why it doesn't take any of our time. A virtual assistant could outbound dial, engage what a buyer's looking to buy. It's funny. I was talking to a newer investor and I'm like, well, why would anybody accept a call from a virtual assistant? I'm like, well, you're a rehabber and you're looking to buy properties. Why wouldn't you give them your information?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and again, that's a fixed mindset. They didn't know, but I thought it was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, people will give information if there's a benefit for them and then the benefit of them for us to send them properties. Right.
Yeah. Got it.
So anyway, that's on the buyer's list side. You can do a bunch of stuff and you go Craigslist as well, et cetera, et cetera.
So pretty much, Bob, anything that can be done online or over the phone, pretty much a virtual assistant can be trained to do.
Correct. The challenging part is for many of us.
Oh, sorry, man. I had like this motorcycle racing behind. All right. Sorry. You were cutting. So you weren't cutting out, but it was just so loud. I couldn't hear you. You were trying to say the challenge, what?
Yeah. Some of the challenges that many of us feel or many of us think that what a VA can and can't do, they just don't see it yet. Right. Until we go over a podcast like this or until you talk to someone about what they can and can't do. Right. I had a challenge too at the beginning, big time on knowing exactly what to outsource because I didn't understand. I didn't experience it yet, right?
Yeah.
So,
let me ask you this, man. Sorry, before you keep going, I have a quick question that I think is going to be on the minds of some people listening is if a VA can pretty much do anything and everything online and over the phone, et cetera, in your opinion, is there anything that you would not give to a virtual assistant or anything that you just have seen has been challenging in general for a virtual assistant to really nail down?
You know what? I wouldn't give my bank account information.
Yeah. So more personal type stuff is what you'd feel. Because I know for me, it's been a little challenging putting my virtual assistant on the phone with sellers, you know, taking calls and stuff like, not that they can't do it. Maybe it's just been that I haven't found the right one, but I have had more success just having VA do marketing related tasks. You know, email management, lead management, stuff like that.
Well, you know, you're 1000% correct. But the answer to that is, you know, even if you hire someone in your office, think about this, and they go through a DISC profile and they're not a high D, they're not a dominant personality, they're not interactive, they're going to fail on the phone.
Sure.
Right. So it's the same thing with a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
Right. So we have them go through all of a DISC profiling to figure out what that profile is.
Yeah. So you do put your VAs through a DISC profile or some sort of predictive, you know?
Correct. So we put them through a DISC profile and then we match them up with the tasks that are needed with investors. So it's a really cool, unique process. Yep. That we go through. And I think it's pretty cool, but that's an awesome question because I made that mistake as well. I'm like, I hope he's not good on the phone. I'm like, well, because he's an admin VA, right? This is the beginning when you go through all the testing.
Sure.
So I went through the same thing as you. So awesome question. All right, we'll keep going on the second leg. Is that cool with you?
Yeah. Let's rock and roll.
Cool. And you can interrupt me as much as like anytime you want because I could talk for hours. So
All right.
If you want to give me a virtual slap, I'm good with that too. so a couple tasks as well for marketing, right? To drive in, motivate seller leads. One of the things I'm working out well, you probably heard this at CG, but I'll add a little twist to this. It's outbound dialing, but I'll put another layer of that has been working with our VAs implement. Number one, obviously, you pull down a list. There's some really good list providers out there. Then you get them skip traced. And then the VA outbound dial. So if you're going to put this in a system, definitely write this one down. They outbound dial, they gauge motivation, or they set an appointment, right? But after that, the VA could also do follow-up. What I would add to that is the VA could now jump to step number four and they could write a contract for you, right? They could actually go through step three where they can run comps and then write a contract, email that over to the seller, see what happens, right? Yeah. So there's another step that the VA could do for you. And I know a lot of listeners here have high volume. So this is something you could actually add into your business to keep going and going and going, which doesn't take any of our time out here, right?
Yeah.
So again, I'll take a step back. So again, pull down a list, skip trace that list, outbound dial to gauge seller motivation, or set an appointment for whoever the acquisition person is. Then they could do deal analysis, analyze the deal, run comps. Then they could fill out an offer for you, email that offer to the homeowner, and then follow up with that actual homeowner.
Okay.
Yep. And then every month they could follow up once a month, because we know typically it takes what, 5 to 7 touches to get a deal?
That's right. If not more, it seems like it's going up these days. But yeah, that's about right. On average, 7 touches.
Right. So there's a cool system, right, for those of you listening. So hopefully that was a good one for you.
And here's the thing I want to make sure that I highlight for people listening, Bob, is that they don't have to. You might have to tweak a few things as far as like the way that you run your systems and the way that you want things done. But these are virtual assistants that are already coming trained, right? I mean, essentially, that's part of the value that you guys are adding, is you're training them how to do a lot of the common things that investors want to do, right? Like run comps, et cetera.
Yeah, we put them through a month long training. So they come to, they come to you trained, which is a unique thing. It's kind of funny. We set up it's funny. You see some of these companies pop up, but starting a company that is a global company is not the easiest thing, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
Yeah, we set up a recruiting company, a training company, a placements company, and then the operations behind it. So every one VA, you also get a manager on top of them. So it's a cool little, cool, unique thing. We pride ourselves on customer service. I think that's important. So
do you have any idea how long on average virtual assistants stay with your clients, Bob?
On average, you mean, do they leave while they're with us?
Yeah. Like, cause again, I'm just, you have a great service. I haven't used it, but I've heard phenomenal things about it. But one of the challenges, I know until about 2 years ago, we've had the same virtual assistant on our team for the better part of 2 years now. But prior to that, it just seemed like there was a lot of turnover with the VA. So I guess what I'm asking is, your clients and investors that have had success with the VAs, what has separated those people from the ones that have had turnover with VAs and have had to kind of cycle through a bunch of them?
Well, so here's what happens in the Philippines, just so everyone can see a little behind the scenes. If you're getting VAs from different companies like Upwork or some companies that are really just resume warehouses, right? Where they warehouse resumes and you pull down resumes, you do all the hard work to interview them, set up client interviews, et cetera, et cetera. The challenge, what happens is they're typically always looking for another job because there's no insurance provided for them, right? So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes people don't see, and a lot of turnover is because of they don't provide insurance, they don't provide benefits, they don't pay them enough, et cetera, et cetera.
Realize that challenge with a lot of VAs on these freelance type sites.
Yep, and that's exactly what happens. So a lot of people don't see that in the back end. Yeah, will they get them cheaper in our company? 100%, right? But if you're going for cheapness, you got time for a quick story, dude? I got a funny story, right?
Yeah.
It's non-related to VAs, but it just reminded me of the word cheap, right? When I owned a condo first, then I bought a house, and me and my wife were rehabbing the house. And it was a decision at that time to buy an Anderson, really nice French door for the back of the house, or pick a piece of crap $100 Home Depot door. Guess which one I picked.
Don't tell me you went with the Home Depot door.
I piece of crap Home Depot door. Every freaking year, I was yelling at that door when it was 100 degrees outside because it was taking all of my air conditioning out. And I was yelling at it when it was snowing and taking all my heat away and jacked up my heat bill. And I'm like, I will never, ever, I'll be honest with you, I will never, ever shop for price ever again. You shop for quality.
You know what, man? Exactly right. You're buying value. You're paying the price tag. But oftentimes, shortcuts become long cuts, right? Because you have to end up like just doing so much more work, time, money. So yeah, man, you get what you pay for in most cases.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I'm a firm believer. So where were we?
You were going through the five steps. And what I'd like to do is, kind of start to wind down here, like within the next 5-10 minutes. So we've been talking about marketing. I think most people understand there's like we've said a couple of times, anything and everything that can be done on the phone and online. Marketing is what we use our virtual assistant a lot for. It sounds like you've had some success having them do skip tracing, outbound dialing, writing contracts, following up, which is awesome, right? I think it's just a matter of having the right person, and that's what your service provides. And by the way, guys, I don't get anything for promoting Bob's service. I wanted to have him on here because he's a cool dude. He provides great content, and he's like one of the experts when it comes to using VAs in our business. And I think a lot of people listen to the show and they have aspirations to build a team and really grow the company, but yet they don't really know what that looks like, who they need to hire, what they have the virtual assistant do. And so that's definitely one of the things that one of the reasons I wanted to have Bob on as well, so that you guys can start to understand what are some of the things that you can leverage a virtual assistant for and some of the things you need to have in place, if you want to reach out to Bob or go at this at your, alone.
Yep. And I'm an investor myself as well. So I'm a current investor. Yeah.
Absolutely.
To commercial property, to buy home, et cetera. So.
Yeah, man. No, so you understand that side of the business as well and what to look for in a VA. And I think that's one of the things that makes the service valuable is how to train them and what to look for.
Yep. Absolutely. So we will wind it down. So number two is lead intake. So on the lead intake, someone needs to be obviously taken in the leads to gauge motivation. I think that's really important for all of us. And it's a time process. I would also put up your follow-up system into this category because many of us, whether we do direct mail, whether we do outbound dialing, you have leads that pile up and pile up and pile up. And the hardest thing I know for me as an investor is before you know it, you got 20 leads this week, 20 leads last week, 20 leads the week before. Yep. And you maybe contacted them once and then you just forget about them, right?
Yeah. It's almost like throwing marketing dollars away, man, because I don't know about for you, but like in our business, 70 to 80% of the deals come from the follow-up. Yep. You got to religiously touch these people. Seven times.
Yep. Exactly. And VAs could do that for you because for me, I get so tired by having to follow up. You're like, oh, geez, I got to do this again. I got to do this again. I got to do this. And a VA, if that's their role, boom, they just keep going.
Got it.
Yep. And number three, deal analysis. So running comps, they could also, if you have a deal analyzer that you're analyzing all these deals, analyze the deals and run comps. Take that off your plate. There's no reason for any of us to be doing that, right? Number four, we already talked about offer/contract. They could write up the contracts for us. And then finally, selling. If you're wholesaling the property, they could help you upload all the picks, send to your buyer's list. They could help with the transaction coordination in the end. Selling, et cetera, et cetera. So,
Yeah, man. And I think for people listening, I think what's really worked for me is using screen capture software, whether it's Camtasia or Screen-O-Matic or now Loom, create your process of how you do certain things and then send it to your VA, and our VA now creates standard operating procedures that's just bullet points with screenshots and, all this kind of stuff. And that essentially becomes our standard operating procedures and our core processes moving forward. So you need to set them up for success. Bob's company can train them, but you might have a certain way that you want things done. You want to have those things in place so that you can set them up for success, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know what I always say, the 80-20 rule, right? You got, let's say we're all probably running our business 80% the same way. It's that 20% that we like tweaking to make it, for you down in Miami, me here in Connecticut, it works a little different on how you want it done rather than how I want it done. So it's always that 20% tweak.
Yeah, very cool, man. So, hey, if somebody's interested in connecting with you, and trying to find the right virtual assistant for their business, what's the process? Where do people connect with you? I appreciate everything you've shared because I think it's opened up, you know, people's eyes to like what's possible with virtual assistants and has kind of dispelled some of the myths or some of the challenges that, hey, you know, VAs are just, I think people just have the misconception with VAs. And like you said, you quickly pointed out, hey, maybe the reason I haven't had success with having VAs in the phone with sellers is because maybe I didn't run a personality disc on that particular VA and maybe I just wasn't putting them in the right seat. Right. How do people reach out and kind of connect and see if it's a potential fit for them?
Absolutely. Just you can go to our website at revaglobal.com. So it's REVAglobal.com. Or you can just email me direct at bob@revaglobal.com. Just reach out to me. Any questions, anything you need, let me know. If it's a real estate question, let's talk real estate. I'm good with that too.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So we'll have that as always in the show notes. And that's Reva, R-E-V as in virtual, right?
Correct. Yeah. Real estate virtual assistant. Yep.
Okay. Perfect, man. Well, Bob, brother, hey, man, I know we kind of met by chance, no pun intended, at the gym in San Diego last year. So it's good to have you on, man. This is an area and a topic which we haven't really discussed in the level of detail that we have on this particular episode. So I hope it connects with people. And yeah, man, we'll include your information in the show notes page. So guys, if you don't have a VA, pretty much most businesses that I'm aware of have at least one VA. I know some businesses that have multiple VAs. And if you don't want to have to go through the headache of trying to find the right one, train the right, you know, all that kind of stuff, that's where Bob's service comes into play here. So reach out, see if it's a potential fit. And then as always, let me know how I can add value, how I can help and answer any questions you guys have. So Bob, appreciate you, man. Any parting thoughts here?
No, I just want to thank everyone for listening to me. And then, like I said, if anyone has any questions about anything real estate related, VA related, reach out to me. But I appreciate the time.
Sounds awesome, man. Well, hey, guys, I look forward to connecting on the next episode. Make sure to plug in and we'll talk soon. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.